Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 16. In verse 13, the Word of God says that Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Interesting thing. I'm telling you who I am. Who do men say that I am? He always tells you the answer, even though he's asking you the question. Son of Man was a phrase that was used in those days for the Savior. When you said Son of Man in ancient Israel, everybody knew what you were talking about. It's not that he's saying, well, I'm the Son of a Man. No, he was the Son of God. But the term Son of Man meant Savior. And so he's saying, who do men say that I, the Savior, am? And then it continues, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means son of Jonah. In other words, Simon Peter was not simply named Simon Peter. It wasn't that his first name was Simon and his last name was Peter. That's not how names worked back then. Jesus started calling him Peter. Jesus renamed this guy named Simon. And they would actually call him, his official name was Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means son of Jonah. And so when a guy was named, he was given a name and then they would add whose son he was to figure out exactly which Simon you're dealing with. And so it's Simon, son of Jonah, and that became the official name of somebody. So he's saying, Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Hades means death. So the gates of death will not prevail against it. Now what he's telling Peter is, you are Peter. That word Peter is Petros, and it means you are a small rock that is a part of a very large boulder, like a cliff. Think of the biggest cliff in the world. Well, you are a small part of that cliff. That's what he's telling him about. You, Peter, are a small part of a very large cliff, very large rock. And on that rock, on that cliff, I'll build my church. What he's saying is, I'm the cliff and you are a part of me. And on myself and who, all that I am, using you as a part of me, I'll build my church. Now here's the point about that. A lot of people didn't know who Christ was. Today, a lot of people don't know who God is. And they will think, well, you're a great guy. You're this amazing prophet. You're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. You're Elijah, come back from the dead. And you're this amazing guy, but they still didn't know who he was. And even though he told them, I'm the Savior, who do men say that I, the Savior, am? They still thought he was somebody else. But Peter, something happened with Peter. Peter said, you're the Christ. You are who you said you are. And then Jesus told Peter who he was. Now, when I was younger, and it still happens today, and it happens really a lot among young people, although they don't identify it the way they used to, is people would say, well, I got to go find myself. Right? And they would do strange things, like they would go to India to find themselves. Did somebody lose you in India that you have to go there and find yourself? Like, are you under the bed? Maybe you left yourself in your blue jeans in the pocket, the back one. Maybe you'll find yourself in the closet. It's a weird thought, really. I gotta find myself. You're right there. You just don't know who you are. And you know, this happens to people. We don't always know who we are. And a lot of people make strange decisions because they don't know who they are. Let me give you an example. When somebody gets elected president, all the experts who watch presidents will tell you this is true. It doesn't matter who it is. Anytime a new president is elected, it takes them about a year to realize that they are the president. And after a year, they take that on and they start functioning and acting and being the president. Before then, they're still kind of figuring it out. But after that year, they start to really enter into everything that it means that they are the president, and they have authority and they have confidence and all this stuff that comes with being president. That's because they've learned who they are. Here's the thing about our personal lives. Now, this is not like a job like a president. This is about you personally. When you learn who God is, God shows you who you are. But you cannot know who you are until you know who God is. It's not possible. Because even if you learn who you are intellectually, you have the information, you read the book, you still can't get what it means until you learn who God is. And so you need to wonder about what does it mean that God is. But sometimes when God tells you who you are, that also tells you who God is. Like Peter, you're a small part of a very large cliff. That tells me that Christ, who is the very large cliff, is saying, Peter, you're a part of me, I'm that cliff. For example, in Galatians 3:26, we're called the sons of God. If we are the sons of God, that means God is our father. Now, you have a dad here on earth, and that's the design from God. That's how God made it. But you also have a father who is in heaven, and he is the one who created you, and he's the one who gives you life, and he is the one who gave you the Holy Spirit to enter into you when you started believing on Christ. That is your father for eternity. And although you will have a relationship with your dad, and he will be your dad for eternity, Christ is both of your father. So God is your father. That means you are his children. Now, in the same way that you come to your dad with complete confidence or to your mom and you know that you're going to get a result, you know that you're going to have acceptance, you know that you're going to find an answer, you know that you're going to be taken care of, that's the very same way God is toward you because he says you're his children. And if I'm his child, that means he's my daddy. And in fact, Jesus in John 19 called him daddy. And you can call him daddy also, because that's exactly who he is. He loves that warmth, that affection, that kindness, that sweet relationship. He wants to have that with you, because you are his kids. And then he says you're his body. The reason why he says you're his body is because in 2 Timothy 1:14, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. That's his spirit. The very same spirit that was in Christ is in you. And because of that, he calls you his body. Because it was in his body and now it's in your body, so you're his body. That means a lot. Imagine what your head will do if you break your arm. It will tell all the other parts of your body and anybody else you can get, help me with my arm. Take care of my arm. My arm is hurting. I'm going to do everything that I can possibly do to help my arm because it's broken. Well, that's what you are to God. If there is something happening in your life and it is broken, maybe you get hurt, maybe something goes wrong for you. God, as the head, Jesus is our head because we are his body. God will do absolutely everything to help you. He'll take care of you. He'll comfort you personally, but then he'll also bring in other people, and he might bring in the paramedics and whoever else. I mean, he will take absolutely everybody and everything he needs to to take care of you. Why? Because you're his body. And then in 1 Peter, in chapter 2 and verse 9, it gives us a bunch of things that we are. He says we're a chosen generation. Generation actually is the word genos, and it means family. You are the people that I've chosen to be my family. Have you ever considered that God is your family? Imagine inviting God for Christmas dinner. Don't you invite your family? Well, imagine inviting God for Christmas dinner. You know what? He's there. Because you're his family. There's never a time when he's going to leave you or forsake you because you're his family. There's never going to be a time when he stops caring about you because you're his family. Even if you do something wrong and he has to discipline you, he's still going to love you because you're his family. And he chose you to be his family. On earth, we're born into a family. Not like that with God. God says, I want that one, 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 and that one, and they're my family. So he actually picked you to be his family. That makes you extremely special. Then he says, you're a royal priesthood. You are among those people who are from my family, and you reveal Christ to other people. So he chose you not only to be his family, but also to be a messenger for him. Which is pretty amazing, because those are like really important people. You know, like America has ambassadors all over the world, and they speak for the American government. That's the picture here. We are like ambassadors for the kingdom of God, telling them about the kingdom. And then he says, you're a holy nation, and the word nation is ethnos. It really means you're a holy group of people. You are special to me. You're sanctified. That means you're set apart for me and my kingdom. You belong in my kingdom. And then he says, you're his special people. And the word special actually refers to possession. You are the people that belong to me. You ever hear somebody say, well, these are my people. My people will call your people. You hear that sometimes. My people will call your people. And businessmen, my people will call your people. No, you are God's people. God has chosen you, selected. He wants you. He loves you. He cares about you. And you are his people. What does that mean? That means that God is somebody who has his own people. And he takes care of those people because they belong to him. And then it says that he called you. You are called. To be called means that you have a special purpose in life that is unique to you, and only you can fulfill the call that God has put on your life. God has a design for your life. It's already planned out. And he said that design goes above and beyond all that you can ask or think, because you are called. That means God has an eternal purpose. Your call starts in time, but it goes into eternity in its results. Let me give you an example. Paul was a guy, he was just an ordinary guy, and God called him. Samuel was another one. Samuel was a kid, and God called him. All the people you read about in the Bible, Moses was just this kid belonging to an ordinary family, nothing special about that family, but God called them. They weren't rich, they weren't famous, they weren't, you know, like government officials or anything like that. They were just normal people, and God called him. God calls you. And just like God had a very important plan and design for Moses' life, a very important purpose for his life, God has a very important purpose for your life. Now, I'm not saying that you'll be famous. I'm not saying you won't be either. It's not important whether it's famous. On earth, who cares if we're famous? We want to be famous in heaven. Because that's where it really matters. And so he's got this design and purpose for your life, and it's extremely important. And then in Revelation 1:6, he's made you to be kings. Hey, did you know you're a king? You are. You just don't know it. In heaven, his plan is to reign. That's what we do. We're going to reign. Not only are we going to reign in heaven, we're going to reign for eternity. He says, I'm making you kings because you are the family of the great king. And so God is somebody who makes kings. That also means you have special authority with God. You can pray and things will happen because you've prayed. You have authority with God. Then he says, you're priests. Yes, you're priests in as much as you are servants of God. And that gives you a very special place with God, a very special connection, because he is communicating with you, and he'll continue to do it throughout your life to fulfill his purpose, not only here on earth, but really for all of eternity. So you are people who work together with God to fulfill all that God has, both for you and for others. That's a really important place you have with him. That's a really important person to be, a servant of God. It's one of the highest compliments God can give you. Then in Romans 1:7, it says, you're the beloved of God. That means you're precious to him. Isaiah 43 says, you're precious in the sight of God. You have amazing value to him. So much value that he would actually die for you because you're the beloved of God. And then it continues, you're called to be saints. That means that you have been selected for heaven. Not everybody goes to heaven. Really, very few people do, unfortunately. And it's really because of their own choices. When they choose to reject the mercy of God. God offers them mercy, God offers them heaven, and they say, nah, I'm going to do it my way. Well, you guys are people who do it God's way. You are called to be saints. You are called for heaven. In Revelation 3 and verse 12, you are the citizens of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is a city in heaven. It is the most spectacular city in history. And God says that you are citizens of New Jerusalem. You think you're the citizens of the United States. But in reality, that's going to last only a short time. Yes, it may last an entire lifetime, but an entire lifetime is a very short time. No, you are the citizens of New Jerusalem. And that's serious business. That means you belong to the nation, to the city, and it's really like a nation, that is the greatest nation of all history for all eternity. And you are its citizens. That means you have a place there, you belong there, you are accepted there, you are welcomed there, and you are at home there. Sometimes here on earth you may feel like, I'm not really at home here. And that's true. Nobody is at home here. And we're not supposed to be. We're at home in New Jerusalem. So whenever you feel like, maybe I'm not at home here. Yeah, you're at home in New Jerusalem. That's why you're different from so many people. And maybe you've already seen this. You're kind of different than the people in school. Yes, you are. You're from a different country. It's called New Jerusalem. And it's far better than any country here on earth. It's a great honor to be a citizen of New Jerusalem. That's a remarkable thing. But that's who you are. That's who you belong to. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.